Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. Praise God. It's always exciting to see the Holy Spirit moving, speaking, you know. Hallelujah. I'm glad God still speaks to His people. Ah, how horrible it would be if those who believe that the gifts of the Spirit were done away with after the apostles passed away and God just left us on our own to do our own thing. That's not our God. He's there with us. He walks with us. He empowers us. He has promised us. He'll never leave us, forsake us. He'll give us every gift that we need. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Hallelujah. Glory. It is so good. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be talking again. We're going to pick up where I left off last week for couple weeks anyhow, 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be continuing to talk about spiritual warfare. Today, the topic is fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession is in the presence of many witnesses. So we have to fight this good fight of faith. We are in a battle. It is a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, mostly spiritual. And we know that the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the great news is Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus won the battle. He won the war. Now, let me rephrase that. He won the war. There are battles that we're going to have to fight. As we live in this physical world, we have an enemy, Satan, and his hordes, who are doing their best to try to kill, steal, and destroy. They're going to do that. I know that's just who they are. That's their mission. Wouldn't it be horrible if that was your mission in life, to kill, steal, and destroy? That's it. That's Satan's mission. That's who he is. That's his personality. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy everything that God deems as good. Therefore, we're going to have to fight this battle. It's a spiritual battle, yes. Sometimes there's physical parts of that battle that we have to fight, and there's certain things that we have to do to fight this battle and learn the art of spiritual warfare. And that's what I'm talking about with the armor of God. Is learning the art of spiritual warfare. There was a Chinese general who wrote a book, a small book, in the 4th or 5th century. It was called The Art of War. Sun Tzu was the Chinese general's name. And the name of the book, I think I mentioned it, is The Art of War. It's a military strategic book, a strategy book. And many militaries all over the world actually adhere to his book, including the United States of America. It's taught in our military institutions. And one of the things that he said this in his book, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. Know the enemy. And know yourself. Know the enemy. We know what his tactics are. We know that the wiles of the devil is what the scripture calls that the schemes of the devil are perpetrated on God's people, and his purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. But the other part of this is we got to know who we are. We got to know ourselves. We got to know that we are children of the Most High God. that God has given us authority in this earth to tread on scorpions and serpents, to overcome. And that's just an analogy for for Satan and his enemy and his hordes, our enemy. So what we have the ability to do is to be able to fight this battle. However, there are certain things that we have to do. So today we're going to start looking at the armor and the weapons that God has given us so that we can win every skirmish. Do you realize you can win every skirmish with the enemy? It's absolutely true. There's no need for us to lose. We can win. However, we have to do certain things. And one of the things we have to do is stand according to the scripture. You know, we have to be tenacious. There was a kid who attended a West Texas high school, and that high school did not have a wrestling team. But he read a book on wrestling, and he convinced one of the football coaches, assistant coach, to be his wrestling coach. And he practiced, and he really wanted to be a wrestler. He was a scrawny kid. He wasn't real strong. He wasn't really that talented. But the one thing that he had in his favor was he never gave up. He was tenacious. So he practiced, and he had his first match, and lo and behold, he won. Not because of his talent, but because he didn't give up. The other people did. The second match, he won again, and he continued winning all season long. He was winning match after match. And finally, at the end of the season, he was undefeated. He got to go to state championship. He went through the matches of state championship, and guess what? He won every one of them until he got to the final match. He was matched up against the state champion. He was a three-year state champion. This guy was good. He knew what he was doing. This young man came up against him, and of course the guy that had been state champion took him and turned him upside down and had him on the mat, had him on his back, and you know, it looked bad. The coach couldn't stand it, so he looked away. And after he looked away, all of a sudden he heard the crowd cheering. And he looked around, and the young man was bounding over to him, jumping across the mat. And he said, "I won! I won, coach! I won!" And he said, "What happened? When I was looking at you, I'm sorry, but I had to look away. I thought for sure you were going to be defeated." And the young man said, "Well, coach, this guy was good. He had me tangled up like a pretzel. And I had my eyes closed, and I opened my eyes, and right in front of me was a big toe. And I don't know if this is fair or not, coach, but I just opened my mouth, and I bit down as hard as I could." He said, "Coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." Hallelujah. Sometimes we just can't give up. We got to be tenacious. And that's exactly what Ephesians 6:13 tells us. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand." And then verse 14, the first two words, "Stand therefore." Do not give up. Stand against the enemy. This verse tells us to do exactly what that young scrawny wrestler did. Never give up. Never give in. Never ever give up. In order to do so, we have to have the proper equipment. And Paul gives us a great list of the proper battle gear that we need to have. Ephesians 6, of course, I just read verse 13. We'll pick up at verse 14. Paul describes combat gear that we need to have. "Stand therefore." Let me give you all an opportunity to get your Bibles out or your device, whatever it is that you have your scripture on. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at this. I'm going to start here today. We're going to talk about the first two pieces of armor that we need to have. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the arrows of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. So you must take up the whole armor of God. You can't just put on part of the armor. In order to be effective, in order to be a proper warrior, you have to have all the armor of God. A few years ago, my brothers was working in asbestos removal. And they, in order to do this, they would build containment centers with plastic. And anytime they went in where that asbestos was that they had to remove, they had to put on equipment. They had to have a full suit on that covered their whole body. They had to have respirators. They had to have the proper boots, coverings for their boots. There wasn't a part of them that wasn't covered properly because it's a very, you know, of course, asbestos is very dangerous. I have some family members that has I'm not going to try to say it, but asbestosis is the easiest way for me to say it. But anyhow, it's very dangerous because asbestos causes problems. It gets in your lungs. It does not deteriorate, and it eventually turns into sort of a cancer. So it destroys lives. So my brothers had to be suited up properly. And it was important that they had every part of their body covered. And particularly, they had to have that respirator on because they were breathing in that asbestos, or they would have been breathing in that asbestos. Last week, I told you a story about PFC Desmond T. Doss, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor as a medic when he rescued 75 men without firing a shot. He wouldn't even pick up a weapon on Hacksaw Ridge in the Battle of Okinawa. And I told you that story because I wanted you to understand that it really relates to us. You see, we do not fight the battle the same way the world fights the battle. We're spiritual medics. And as spiritual medics, we do no harm. But we rescue those who are wounded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our purpose, is to reach out and touch people's lives and let them know there is hope. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter where it looks like you're headed, there is hope for your life. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. And He wants to pick you up. He wants to save your soul, most of all, so that you can be in paradise with Him someday. And then He wants to mend your life and begin to put things back together and lead you in a direction that is profitable for you and for your family and for other people around you, and bring you into the kingdom of God, and then you become a worker in the kingdom, a warrior in the kingdom. Our supernatural weapons enable us to engage in the battle as medics, not as those who are firing shots and wounding people, but as spiritual medics to rescue. When Paul was talking about this armor, it is believed that he was confinement. He was in a home, but he was confined because he was waiting for Caesar to make a judgment on what was going to happen to him because he had been preaching the gospel. and he was confined with a Roman soldier. So when Paul talks about these pieces of armor, he's sitting right beside, most likely right beside a Roman soldier that had this armor on. And he's making the analogy of the natural armor, how important it is in the supernatural for us to put it on and wear it properly. These Roman soldiers were normally equipped for battle wherever they went. So the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is the belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. That's the belt of truth. Do you have that? Can you put that picture up there of the belt of truth? There you go. You can see the belt. And it, as you look, you can see it has different items hanging from it. Sword. Trying to remember the name of that sword. Gladius, I believe. Yeah. The main sword that they use is called a gladius. It was a two-edged sword that they used in hand-to-hand combat, close quarters. They also had a dagger that they used. And most of the time, they did use that in battle once in a while, but most of the time, that smaller knife dagger there was used in just day-to-day life. They used it for different things, cutting up food and, you know, just different things. The day-to-day life, it was a weapon that was that could be used, but it could be used on a daily basis as well. And then also, on that belt, there was places, there was loops for different things like ropes and a pouch that they would carry a pouch with them with rations in it. And they had all kinds of different things that they would carry on that belt. It was used because they needed to have supplies with them wherever they went. And if that belt was not on straight and in the right place when they were in the midst of battle, if they couldn't just reach down, they knew exactly where that rope was. They knew exactly where that dagger was. They knew exactly where that sword was. And if it wasn't in the right place, it could cost them their life. That's why it's important that we have this belt of truth on. This is an extremely important part of the soldier's armor. Although it doesn't seem like it, it's not really protecting them, but it's equipping them. It's helping them to be prepared for the battle. The Roman soldier put it around his waist, and it was a very wide belt, most likely. It held all this equipment that I just talked about. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. What in the world is Peter saying to us? In the first century, the words that he wrote to the church, most of the believers would have understood what Peter was saying. What does it mean to gird up the loins of your mind? To gird means to bind up the loins of your mind, especially bind it up with the belt. The picture here is of a Roman soldier putting on the part of his armor that covered the groin or the loins. And the phrase, the loins of your mind, means you must know how, just a minute, let me get my train of thought here. The loins were the center of the proactive power of the individual. So the literal translation here is your mind is one which means deep thought. So what we have here in gird up the loins of your mind is a phrase that means the mind is in full capacity full strength and full power. So when you gird up the loins of your mind, you're strengthening it with truth. Just as a soldier had loins and a belt, and when we read the Word of God on a daily basis, we're not only able to maintain our defenses, but we gird up the loins of our mind, which means that we have restraints of truth on our thinking. Does that make sense? We're restraining our thinking because if we're not careful, our mind will run wild and go crazy and cause us to think all kinds of crazy things, things that we should not be thinking. That's why we need truth to keep us centered, to keep us moving forward in the right direction. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How are we going to be transformed? By renewing our mind. And that's with truth. We renew our mind with truth. The belt was the first thing that the soldier put on. Just as the truth of the Word of God should be the first thing we put on in the morning. Amen. But a lot of the weaponry, the protection, depended on the belt being in the proper place. If we use the Word of God as our belt of truth, we have a good, solid foundation. Now, here's something I want you to understand. On that belt, of course, it held the sword. And we're going to talk about this later. The sword is the sword of the Spirit when we start talking about in the spirit realm. Sword of the Spirit, which is a weapon to slice and dice the enemy. And we'll talk more about that. But the belt of truth is also based on the Word of God. And it holds the weapon that we have. So the belt of truth is a general knowledge of what the Word of God says. A general knowledge of what the Word of God teaches. A general knowledge. That's why it's important that we read the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, we get a general understanding of what God expects from His people. You may not have it word for word, but you get a good basic understanding of what God's expectations are for believers and how we're supposed to live our life. In Psalms 119, verse 160, it says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every word of your righteous judgments endures forever." Jesus said this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Hallelujah. Listen, there was a time in our culture where our whole society was built on the Word of God. It's no longer the case, I realize that. But our whole culture was built on the Word of God. Therefore, people knew what truth was. You see, in public schools, the Ten Commandments were taught and people stood on them. Families, people believed and taught the Ten Commandments and lived according to the principles of God. The Bible was read, and everybody in society, whether they were a true believer in Jesus Christ or not, everyone in our society had a general knowledge of the Word of God. And with that general knowledge, our nation prospered. With that general knowledge, things were done properly and in order because we had this general knowledge of what was right and wrong. Even in our higher learning institutions, most of them were established by churches. The general knowledge of the Word of God was taught. Let me share with you, I have that picture put that picture up there of the gateway to Ohio University. Look at that. This is what Ohio University was founded on. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. You walk on that campus today, you don't realize that it was founded on those principles, but it was. Many of our higher educational institutions were founded on these same kind of principles. This was the ordinance of 1787. The ordinance was passed, and our Congress believed at that time that religion and morality were very, very important for our nation. So at the time, our nation had a moral compass. We no longer have that moral compass as a nation, but we should have that moral compass as a church, as believers. We need to have that. We need that rudder to keep us sailing in the right direction. We can't depend on our government, our educational system, our politicians to give us our moral direction, because they'll lead us in the wrong direction. That's why we have to have the Word of God as our basis, the truth. That's why in our families, we need to have a general understanding of the Ten Commandments. We need to have a general understanding of what the Word of God teaches us. Otherwise, we will come to the same place as our society is right now, that where good is being called evil and evil is being called good. And if that's not happening, you call me a liar, because I see it everywhere. In 2019, the Democratic National Committee unanimously passed a resolution affirming atheism and declaring that neither Christianity nor any religion is necessary for morality or patriotism. In other words, we don't need God. That's in direct contradiction to what's posted at Ohio University. And it contradicts exactly what people early on in our nation believed. As a result, because they no longer believe in the ordinance of 1787, evil is being called good and good is being called evil. We have a responsibility. We can't depend on our government. We can't depend on anyone else. We individually in our families have a responsibility to share a general understanding of the Word of God with our children, with our families. This past week, our granddaughters have been staying with us, Emberly and JoJo, and just about every night while they're there, I try to read a Bible story to them. And we just have this Bible storybook, and of course, you know, they're Emberly's 4 and JoJo's, how old is JoJo? 3? I don't know. But anyhow, you can't hold their attention for very long, is my point, regardless how old they are. So, you know, we just have to do little bits and little pieces of teaching them Word of God. And I'll read a little bit, and then I'll ask them questions about, you know, how many men went into the promised land, and how many gave a good report, and how many gave an evil report. And you know, it's fun just interacting with them with that. But those are the kind of things that give our families and our children a basis for the truth that they need to have in their life. Because in order to do so, we have to talk about the Word of God. We've got to instill these principles in the lives of our children. The Bible You know, this is a reality. The Bible is no longer the center of our society, but it should be the center of believers' life. According to research, less than 20% of churchgoers read the Bible on a daily basis. I thank God that I'm in a church where the majority of people read the Bible. Amen. On a daily basis. In the 1960s, 65% of Americans said they believed the Bible is true. Today, the figure drops down to 32%. Even more dramatically, today 67% of all Americans deny that there's any such thing as truth. 70% say there's no moral absolutes. We've lost our bearing. We've lost our moral compass as a nation. Without that, we're going to disintegrate. We got to pray. We've got to put on this belt of truth. We've got to stand on what is right and what is true and what is good. And that will be found in the Word of God. Second principle, or second thing I want to look at this morning, is the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And once again, see a picture here of the breastplate of a Roman soldier. As you can see, it's designed to protect mostly vital organs. And the biggest thing that it protects is the heart. Because the heart, of course, pumps the blood. And there's if the heart is injured, the soldier's rendered unable to continue in the battle. The Romans had the idea of armor design, which provided for, it was lightweight, ease of movement, but it protected them from blow after blow. It was a very good design. This breastplate was put on after you put the belt on, and it was attached to the belt. So the armor became a one piece attached together. The thongs on the bottom kept it solidly attached to the truth. So the breastplate protects the vital organs, protects the heart, and it's attached to the truth that we bind around our waist, the truth of the Word of God. While the heart is the one key organ responsible for sending the blood through the body, our spiritual lives can become affected and deadened if our hearts are not right with God. That's why we have to protect them. Our heart needs to be protected. When you walk in the righteousness of God with a true and pure heart, it's a weapon, it's a defense that we have against the wiles of the devil, the strategies that he has. It causes us to have right thinking and right actions, right doing. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said this to the Sadducees, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It comes, you know, what comes out of our mouth is actually coming from our heart, coming from our innermost being. He also said in 12:35, "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things." Good and evil are always a heart issue. And you can't cover it up. You can't hide it. You can't pretend like you're good when you're evil. It'll go over for a little while, but the reality is it will be exposed. You can't hide from the reality of God's power. Psalm 7 says, Chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. you, the righteous God, who probes what? The mind and the heart. He probes them. That's in the NIV. He probes our minds, not only our minds, but he probes our heart. The Hebrew word here for righteous is tzaddik. It means just, lawful, righteous. According to the biblical usage, it describes a person who is righteous in government, righteous in family, righteous in conduct and character, righteous in relationships, somebody who is right in right standing in all of these situations. Good and evil continue today to be a heart issue. And when we look around all over our world, we look in particularly in our nation, and we start looking at those who are leading us, it's not hard to see that there are many who have the wrong heart. They're in this thing, regardless of what leadership position they're in, they're in it for the wrong reason. They're not in it to serve others. They're in it to get whatever they can get. But thank God he does have some of his righteous people in strategic places. Amen. We don't want to put, look, in politics, we don't want to lump everybody in the same category, because not everybody is an evil politician. It's easy to, you know, all those horrible people that work at the IRS, well, there's some good people that work at the IRS, right? There's some good, you know, the world looks at the church. You don't know about that? Some people, the world looks at the church, and they lump us all together sometimes because of the things that have happened in the church over the years. We got to be careful that we don't do that. We must judge people individually based on their own character and their own heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. The heart is so important that God said this about David. He's a man after my own heart. Wow. That's what God's looking for. People who would chase after him. People whose heart is pure before the Lord. That's why we must protect our heart. We must keep it from the evils of this world. So I'd say to you this morning, be careful what you watch on television. Be careful the movies that you watch. Listen, garbage in, garbage out. We all know that. And if we put enough garbage in, what's going to come out of our heart? Not good things. Be careful what kind of music you listen to. Now, I'm not opposed to secular music, but there's some music that is garbage, and you should not be listening to it. Be careful what you're taking in on social media. Boy, I'm stepping on some toes now, I know. Because there's a lot of evil, a lot of nasty things going on out there. Be careful how you're interacting and what you're saying. What are you allowing in your mind? Because whatever you allow come in through your mind, through your eyes, through your ears, will settle in your heart. And when it settles in your heart, it becomes a part of you. If you take off the breastplate of righteousness for just a short period of time, it gives the enemy a foothold. Now, I don't want to confuse what I'm talking about with righteousness in Christ with salvation, because I'm not talking about salvation of works. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You protect your heart because you love the Lord, not because you're going to do it so you can earn heaven and earn salvation. We know that that's not what the Bible teaches. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Our salvation and our eventual home with the Lord Jesus Christ is based on what He did on the cross and our accepting that, not on who we are in our actions. But it's abundantly clear that God expects righteous, holy behavior from His people. And we have to work on that. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Word righteous, the Greek word here, it means observing divine laws, upright, righteous, virtuous, someone who keeps the commands of God. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 30 years ago, Pastor Otis, Tammy, myself, Pastor Otis, we went to church with a group of people in Athens. Good people. The core group that we went to church with loved the Lord, didn't they, Otis? They would pray, they would fast, they would seek the Lord. They were servants of the Most High God. But something happened to some of those people over the years. Somehow, they drifted away. They didn't protect their heart. And they drifted away. I can't believe that they walked away from serving the Lord like they used to serve Him. They stopped going to church. Their marriages fell apart. Their families went in different directions. And I'm not talking about nominal Christians here. I'm telling you, these people were sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. But they let their guard down. Their hearts, little by little, the enemy entered into the heart. Did it through different means. I'm not condemning these people. I just want you to know it happens. Now, some people would say, well, they were never saved in the first place. Well, people I knew served the Lord. They loved Him. Something that God wants to do is to keep us close to Him. But He gives us we are free moral agents, and we get to choose. We can choose to press into Him, or we can choose to gradually just kind of walk away. Does that mean those people won't be in heaven? I don't know. I can't answer that. All I can tell you is they're not serving the Lord like they once served the Lord. So I encourage you today, gird the loins of your mind with truth and guard your heart. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.